TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI. Trust-based relational intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to season 7, episode 7. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and today we are chatting with Joy Zedler from The Pearl Project. Joy is the co-founder and executive director of The Pearl Project, a nonprofit she and her husband founded as the organization they wish they'd had on their lowest point of their foster-turned adoption journey. The Pearl Project educates, encourages, and equips families and professionals with trauma-responsive training and support. Joy has a master's in human relations from the University of Oklahoma and is currently pursuing a master's in marriage and family therapy. She and her husband, Stephen, live in Ocala, Florida, with their 5 children, ages 21 to 11. The Zedlers have experienced firsthand the power of TBRI to transform a family, and they are on a mission to help vulnerable children and their caregivers know their value. Thanks so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with our host, Sarah Mercado, and Joy Zedler.
Welcome to the podcast, Joy. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So for our listeners, would you just introduce yourself and tell us kind of how did you get to know TBRI? Because I have a great story of your practitioner, but let's before that happened, what happened?
So we were a foster turned adoptive family. We went into fostering because we really enjoyed parenting. We had 3 biological children. We thought we were doing a great job at parenting. Mm-hmm. We knew of the need for foster families. So we jumped into foster care with a lot of excitement and feeling like we were equipped.
Right.
laugh
it's
now.
Like the biggest lie, right?
Exactly. We did not know what we were getting into. And our foster journey, we ended up adopting our first foster baby and his older sister. So it quickly turned to adoption.
Okay.
Which carries a different, like a more weight, you know, this is forever now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And we found that as many people who come to TBRI, we found that the traditional parenting that worked great with our big kids just wasn't working. And it was sometimes making things worse. So we felt very alone on this journey and overwhelmed and completely exhausted. And it was at this lowest point in our parenting that a friend of mine from Oklahoma, who on Facebook posted a quote from Karen Purvis. And so this friend I don't see very often, but I saw the quote and it just resonated with me. I honestly don't even remember which quote it was, what it was about. I just know that I was like, huh, that's interesting. She's an adoptive mom too. So I knew that I knew it was kind of for that audience. And I that led me down the TBRI rabbit hole on YouTube. So I spent hours looking at every video I could find, listening to Dr. Purvis in multiple videos. And then I found that there was an Empowered to Connect conference coming to Birmingham, which isn't too far from me. So the stars aligned and we were able to make the trip. And my parents came and watched the kids, and my husband and I spent 2 days drinking from the fire hose, learning from Dr. Purvis. And we knew we had found something. We knew this was an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we also knew it wasn't going to be an overnight fix, you know,
because it's a real bummer.
Yeah. But we bought every DVD, every CD, like we went home armed.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to do this. And it was great to feel like we had found an answer, but it was also really hard because again, we were kind of doing it on our own.
Yeah.
But that is really where we found TBRI. And we started that journey of just kind of self-education, reading all the books, watching the videos. And it's, we started to see it change our family.
Okay. So, So I remember right where we were standing, and this, you should know, is not normal for me because, you know, we talked to a whole lot of people at all of these trainings. I remember being at the Riley Center. I remember where we were standing near a table when you said, well, I started my organization so I could get into TBRI practitioner training because we have very few requirements, in fact, zero like educational requirements or anything like that. But we do ask that people are working full time in a field serving, you know, children who have experienced trauma or families who are supporting them in some capacity or within the system. And I was like, wait, what? You started your own organization? Tell me more about that.
So my youngest son, the one we adopted, was going into kindergarten, and my parents were hanging out in our living room. We're drinking a glass of wine one night after dinner. And my dad asked me, what are you going to do now that Ryan's going to school? Because I was always a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, well, what I want to do is become a TBRI practitioner so that we can serve families. Because we had already started the work before we had the Pearl Project. After going to that conference in Birmingham, 2 years later, we found out we could bring it to our community through a simulcast. So we had already done that for 2 years, just as Joy and Steven Zedler, you know, hosting the simulcast. And from that simulcast, we had a support group. So we were kind of doing the work, but it wasn't official. Yeah. And so I was like, we really need to become official. I need to become a practitioner. And then my dad's next question was, well, how do you become a practitioner? And I answered, well, you have to be a part of an organization. And I don't think I can get a job and then say, hey, send me to practitioner training. You know, I knew that's not going to work. So the next question was, well, how do you start an org? You know, just question after question led to a Google search, honestly, of how to start a nonprofit. And I...
Are you kidding?
No. I printed like a 7-page document and started checklisting all the steps. And within a couple of days, we had the name, the logo, all the things ready to go to... That again, we were doing the work. It just kind of made it more official. And then 2 months later, we got the 501c3 status. It was crazy how fast it happened. And I applied for practitioner thinking it might take a while, but I'm going to try. But I have an org now. I work for the Pearl Project. This amazing org in Ocala, Florida. And I put it out there, and I actually was on the wait list first. And I remember I emailed it was through Show Hope, which they did. So I emailed the people at Show Hope and I was like, I hope the wait list is not in alphabetical order because I'm a Z. And a couple of weeks later, I got off the wait list and was able to be there for the practitioner training. So that's the story.
That is so cool. So when you first set out, I know, you wanted to support families, but are you today where you set out to be? Is this where you thought you would land? Because it's been eight.
It'll be 6 years in February.
Okay. And 6 years next month. We're recording in January, 2024.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So when you set out, your plan was to support families, but did you know how?
Well, we knew we wanted to offer the TBRI caregiver training. So that was, of course, the motivation to become a practitioner so we could really offer that deeper training. We also knew someday we wanted to do camps. Like we had a few things that we knew eventually wanted to do, but we thought our goal was like 5 practitioners in 5 years. And we thought that was a really big goal. And it was, And we thought
to have 5 practitioners on your team in 5 years.
In our team in 5 years.
Okay.
In Ocala.
That is ambitious.
It was ambitious. It really is. But our goal was really to serve our community, the foster adoptive community. Okay. And then we were only operating a couple of years right when COVID hit. And so that really did impact our work. Obviously things went online, but through that online, we connected and we had already made a connection with some practitioners up in the panhandle of Florida. And they had seen what we were doing in Ocala, and they wanted to do the same thing in their town of Niceville. But we had kind of supported them remotely with before COVID, just like helping to promote their event and like kind of partnering. But through COVID, we started leading trainings together on Zoom. Zoom really brought those two teams. At the time they were just two practitioners that we were supporting, but they eventually, now we have a chapter in Niceville, and it was not something we never thought we'd be outside of Ocala, but it's just been very organic. And so they're doing the same work up there in Niceville, Florida. And so that's been something unexpected. We now have 12 practitioners in 6 years. We've sent more practitioners who work for other, or, you know, like kind of helps get people into practitioner training. We joke that we really want a TBRI takeover in the state of Florida. And I feel like it's happening. You know, it's happening. People didn't know what it was 6 years ago in our community. Right. And now we have people calling, asking for the training. They, you know, hear it roll off the tongue now. They don't say TRBI. They say TBRI. They know what it is.
I got the acronym.
Yeah. So we feel like it's way bigger than what we ever imagined. And the need is bigger than we thought. Truly, it was, when we started, Stephen and I were like, well, we'll just do this and see a year later if this is still going to be what's going to happen. So we've been overwhelmed just with how it's grown, but also the need is huge. So we've beyond foster and adopt. Now we are, you know, training schools and churches and anybody.
What does your programming look like now?
So now we offer the caregiver training online and in person. And then we also offer support groups. That's been the heart of what we've done from the beginning, because we really think it's not enough just to have that information.
Right.
You really need people to process. And then we've done two camps now. So our dream to have camps has happened. We were fortunate to have the master level institute students come last year, and Dr. Call came, and camp was a dream, and it's fun to see that happen. We have retreats for foster and adoptive moms. And that is not a retreat where you come and get information. That is not the purpose. It is a
retreat. No training.
No training. It is a retreat where we TBRI the participants. Like we will have some inspirational, we call them soul care sessions, but it's not about knowledge and information. It's about taking care of yourself and just kind of, and everything's optional at our retreats, because we know some moms just need to stay in the room and take a nap, and that's okay.
Right.
And so
how long are the retreats?
They're just two nights for the moms. In Santa Rosa Beach is where we hope to grow that to more retreats for dads, for families. And I see it like we have two wings. We have the educational wing that gives the information and that really does start to transform a family. But then we have the therapeutic side of camps, retreats, and we're working to add counseling and coaching so that it's not, you know, as we all know, it's not enough to know the information when you're triggered in the moment. And then if you do the wrong, you know, do what you know, you're, you know, was not the best response, then you often feel shame for that. And so we're trying to just walk along families as they learn to implement and have grace for themselves. So.
Okay. I have a question. I'm stuck on this retreat thing because you said it's just two nights. And I'm thinking like, you know, I worked in foster care for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we know happens, and you alluded to this a little bit, but is that foster families, because of the behavioral challenges that the kids face and the families face, it's easy to lose our like sort of natural relationships that we had in place in the community because the behaviors are scary to other families, or they don't want their kids exposed. And I get it, right? Like, I mean, we can get it from both sides, but when you're in it, it can be so isolating and you feel like you lose a lot of support. And then to take a mom out of a home for two nights, there's got to be a lot of support there to keep that family moving while she's gone and getting her needs met.
Yes.
So how are they on their own to do that? Do y'all have some sort of network that helps out? Are the families just in a solid place where that's possible at this point? How does that go down?
So for right now, we are kind of if we see a need, we try to meet it, but if we can, but So we have had one family where we did have to kind of pitch in. We had the church small group. Mm-hmm. We like kind of helped mobilize them to help so that cool. she could come. Okay. Yeah. So it's very, again, very organic. I wouldn't say we have like, a system in place for that right now. Mm-hmm. If we needed to, we would, but it, so far the moms have made a way to make
they
it.
They figured
work.
It out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but I, we know that feeling. So we always want to do our best to help if we know a mom really needs it. And if there's a way we can help get a mom there, then we're gonna
that's
do that.
Awesome.
We have one mom who could only come for one night. You know, sometimes yeah. that happens.
If, sure.
Yeah. So
for the retreats, there's no education, formal education or whatever. Have these moms been through any kind of TBRI classes before they get there? Is that a...
So yes and no. It started, we were going to make that a requirement because we're like, this is like going deeper. So we want to make sure.
Right.
But we do, and that is majority of who comes. We don't even advertise much. Like honestly, the first year we didn't advertise at all mm-hmm. Out beyond just two people who had been to our trainings. So the first year, yes, it was all people who had been through the full TBRI caregiver training or had at least been to a long intro. Families we were working with already had a relationship. And then the next year, what happened is people have a friend who really needs to come. And,
right.
and we just kind of, you know, we definitely want them. We don't want this to be, it's just a retreat where you come and relax and have fun. Like it's the beginning. We want it to be tied to the TBRI journey. So,
sure.
So we make sure, and same with camp. Camp is really for families who've already been through TBRI. Mm-hmm. But we're not super legalistic about it. If we know a mom really
sure,
needs it,
sure.
it can be the beginning of her TBRI journey, then
right.
we will definitely allow that. So,
yeah, I was asking that because I was curious if, you know, I was a TBRI naysayer to begin mm-hmm. with. I did not think this was going to work
yes.
whatsoever. And, you know, our people who have been listening have heard a lot of those stories along the way, so I won't get into them. And I know, you know, some of them, but, if I'm a mom that's overwhelmed and you've told me this TBRI thing and I'm kind of like, cool, but, and then I go and I basically get dipped in it myself, mm-hmm. which like camp is an immersive experience mm-hmm. like that too. But you're saying like through this retreat, we're TBRIing them. Do you ever hear like, oh, that's how that feels. Or that felt different than what I'm, do the moms ever make the connection?
Yes, we've had that. And even they get that when I mentioned everything's optional, like that we are not to say that's how we parent, but you know, in a nurture
right.
group where we tell it
yeah.
every kid, you have a voice. Like,
yeah.
so it's kind of that, we've had parents say that, like, they really appreciate that we're letting them think about what they need and express that need. And then they can translate that to, oh, that's my kids need that too. Like they need that voice. They need to be able to know how to do that reflection of sometimes our kids don't know what they need either. So just giving mm-hmm. space for that. And so I do think that the retreat, we have had caregivers definitely say that they feel TBRI, they get to experience what it feels like and then know that this is good for my kids too. If it's good
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. Like well, and it feels good,
yeah,
right?
It like, feels good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I got
yeah,
really excited about that. Cause it's just something that, you know, I think so many of us would love to do is to figure out how to do a retreat or something mm-hmm. like that for the caregivers. But,
yeah.
Just thought it really caught my attention and mm-hmm. I'm thankful you shared that with us. So, you know, I worked in child welfare for many years, mm-hmm. child welfare, at least here in Texas, is sort of an oddly competitive business within mm-hmm. the agencies. Mm-hmm. you know, our doors staying open, we're dependent on having, you know, babies in beds, mm-hmm. basically. And so there was always some, a little bit of jockeying and mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just really a weird thing to me that the child welfare was felt competitive, but mm-hmm. it did because you are, you're trying to keep
yeah.
your doors open.
Yeah.
And we don't like to talk about the business side. And I can remember when we would be in like our senior leadership meetings, we would write like, we love kids or we care about kids on our whiteboard. So anytime we had to talk about the business side. But one of the things about Pearl Project is that you don't have that stressor, right? Like your programs are all in a support nature, I think, to organizations and parents and kids and families as a whole and the system as a whole. Do you think you have a unique opportunity to try to bring some of those players together because you don't have kind of that level of need within the system?
I hope so. I mean, I feel like we're seen kind of as an ally to other orgs. So the hope would be to model that, like that we can work together. We can, we don't need to, there's enough work for all of us. That's one thing we always were like, there's enough work for all of us. Like the funding is the difference. That's the harder part because it is, that's where, but we try to operate from that abundance mentality and not, you know, just not get into that competitive space. But, but yeah, I do feel like it probably does help that we're seen as kind of more independent in that way. And we can, connect people. And we even, when we train a school, like we're training a school right now, and we are encouraging them to get their own practitioners, like, and they're hope they're applying because, and we've done that in a group home. We train a group home and they still send a part of their onboarding is everyone at this group home, from the bookkeeper to the housekeeper to the moms on the floor, come to our training as part of their onboarding. So we are part of the them, but they, but we encourage them to get their own practitioner because we don't want orgs to be dependent on us.
Right.
We want them to become their own, you know, where we can still be there to support, but we really, like we talk, we kind of talk about like lighting fires. Like we want to light a fire in this school, find the, that champion, let them go and do their thing, but then also be there to support and collaborate. So we, that is definitely something we care about and we want to do more of as we grow and make more connections is offer that kind of space for other orgs for orgs to come together and have a conversation at how can we share that, you know, we have this shared language of TBRI now, what are just finding out what other people are doing and working together. So it's on our radar to do more of that. It's
I think you do a lot. I mean, I think the other thing that can be tricky for organizations like yours is, you know, kind of garnering the attention and the respect from the state because you're not in a required relationship with them, right? Like they don't have any oversight into what you do. You don't house their kids, quote unquote, you know what I mean? Like, so, and it seems like they're listening. Like I know juvenile justice has come to you. Organizations are coming to you. You're working in partnership with other people. So to me, it's really exciting to have sort of this, like, we're here to support you. Right. Like we're not trying to get in on that game or that, you know, not the game, but you know what I mean? The business side of that.
Exactly. The question that changed my life for TBRI was, what does this baby need? You know, Darren Jones saying that in Empowered to Connect. And that is a question that we reframe for organizations, not baby. We don't call them babies.
No, but no, they wouldn't like
that.
That
is the posture we try to take. What do you need? How can we help you? You know, and trying to be like, we have this thing and we will, we just want to help meet the needs, but, and obviously stay in our lane too. Not, we don't, we know that we don't need to, there are a lot of us out there to meet a lot of different needs, but just being mindful of what we can offer and being ready to help meet.
Wow. I just think back to those days in foster care. And if like an independent org had come up and just said, what do you need? And we did have them. I mean, we had them and, but for the organization side of things, like people get really drawn to supporting kids and families, but from the organization side where you also feel like you're drowning on sort of a different level, that would be like the biggest breath of fresh air that I think a lot of them could breathe because I mean, even the social workers are so tired. I mean, they're just so tired. And so, that's awesome that you guys do that. What do you need? It's just, you can't go wrong asking that. I mean, you've already said, you ask the moms that, you let them meet their needs or you help meet them, the organization's the same. Okay, so I know you've told us that your family was built through adoption and biologically, but also through adoption. How has TBRI impacted your family's journey?
More than anything, it's changed me and how I see that whole idea of there's always a need beneath the behavior, you know, just changing how I see relationships and see behavior. And the early on at that Empowered Tonight conference, where we got to learn from Dr. Karen Purvis, one of the things that we learned from the very beginning that TBRI was not just for our youngest two. And we didn't know that. We went thinking, well, we have these skills for these kids and we're going to learn a different way for, but we went, and when we learned about birth trauma and all of that, we were like, oh, this is one of our bio kids that had some birth trauma. And it helped me we realized it's for her too. Like the whole time we're like, oh, this is, we could see some sensory things and some learning things that we thought, oh, it had no idea it might've been connected to this. So we early on, we knew it was for more than just our foster and adoptive kids. But now I would say, even growing past that, it's for if you have a relationship with anybody, if you have a dog, TBRI is, you know, so that's how it's impacted me beyond my family, is just how I see everybody. But in our family, I think it's given me just permission to play again. Cause like I'm by nature a playful person. And then when it got hard, I lost that, and realizing that, oh, that's good. And I need to keep that. And and so we're a very, for the most part, pretty playful family. And I feel like that's been a huge part of our healing journey. And then I think the other way it's changed us is doing, my husband and I have really worked hard to do our own work, and that we've been fortunate enough to be trained in the Making Sense of Your Worth with the HALO Project, and using those programs and tools to change us to be able to help our kids. So and it's just been incredible, the difference. When I sometimes think where we would be without TBRI, and it's scary to think about, honestly.
It kind of makes me sad. I mean, no, it makes me grateful, I guess, but like, you know, same with me, like the journey of self-discovery and just the why behind my own behavior.
Yeah.
You know, like what did this Sarah Mercado baby need?
Exactly. Yes. And,
you know, it's so important, but it's also like, you got to make a real effort, right? Like you have to really decide you want to do it, because it is not always easy. I want to flip back just one more question, because you have a lot of kind of special permissions from us to, we don't have many organizations that are like serving the community through the lens of TBR like you are. So I do want to highlight that you have a lot of special permissions to, because your organization kind of is your community, the people you serve, versus like, you know, one of our parameters is that you train within an organization. So I know you work closely with us on all of that, but we need people like you out there. We need all the, you said the fire, I think you said the fire starters or something. And I was like, Joy's like the match. Like she's setting all those fires on, you know.
Pyromaniac.
And so when you said the thing that, you know, your dad just started asking you questions first, I've had the honor of meeting your dad before, and I will never let him ask me a question because I'm scared of that journey.
Could change your life.
I know. We might have another Pearl project. But what would you encourage people to do? Because I know you work a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. You probably are out raising money all the time, trying to find grants and all that. Yeah. If people are thinking about like, I want to do an organization like this, is there anything you would encourage them? And I'm going to set aside obviously they're going to chat with us first from your seat for doing the organization. What would you say?
I would say if they're able to, because I know financially it can be hard, but if you're able to, and this is what we did, we just started doing the work. I didn't try to convince. I didn't. And we probably do things a little backwards, in that I always, it was kind of like building the airplane as you fly. Like, don't feel like you have to have everything lined, you know, definitely, you know, get what you need to be legal and official and all of that. But as far as like, as how do you start? I think it's just start, just do it. Like we started doing community trainings once a month at our police department. This was pre-COVID, and just started inviting people instead of convincing orgs to have us come train, which is what we were going to do. And this was a recommendation from Amanda Purvis. We had a meeting with her early on. I remember being so like, oh, so excited that, you know, like, yeah, you guys have been so supportive from the beginning that she would meet and give us this advice. But she said, just do it and invite people. Don't go out trying to, you know, because people are busy. They're not gonna, right, not gonna be able to convince someone to necessarily to have, mm-hmm, you. And you got to get that, get it out there however you can. And so just, that's how we started. We just started doing it. And maybe like, it was like,
I think it's brilliant.
Naive. I don't know. We're just like, we're just going to do it. It's good stuff.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I know. So, cause I mean, one of the things, you know, we are at the Institute, we're outnumbered, right? Like, mm-hmm, just like you are, like, there's, yeah, like you said, there's more work than any of us could ever do.
Yes.
But one thing, we just don't believe you should have to beg anybody to do TBRI.
Exactly.
And so the idea of not going to sell it, mm-hmm, versus we're going to be over here doing this thing. Yeah. Please join us if you'd like to.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really that thing, because it does require so much change,
yeah,
right? It requires, mm-hmm, the adults to do the changing, really, mm-hmm, whereas in previous models that I've used in my parenting, mm-hmm, was that the kids were going to do all the changing,
right,
to satisfy, yeah, yep, mostly my power and control issues and my insecurities, yep, if I want to be honest. But well, that is fantastic advice. And, mm-hmm, look at where you are now just by,
yeah,
doing
just
it.
Just doing it. And I even say that yes, we want funding, obviously, but I don't want so much funding that I'm trying to fill spots in my org, like trying to, mm-hmm, hire people, like grow organically, like find the right people is really important. Because TBR, right, you know, you have this amazing thing, mm-hmm, program, but it's, or, right, you can develop program with the TBRI model, but finding the right people and not, you know, that's kind of how we've operated. And all of our staff has lived experience, which really, mm-hmm, sets us apart from other orgs and yeah, gives us a lot of clout with who we serve. And so just, mm-hmm, not, yeah, I did not have a lot of business experience. I know I get the right people with business experience on my board, mm-hmm, and on my team. Is that's, yeah, important, but maybe we did things a little backwards because of that. We just did the work and then,
well, I think it worked, and look at what's happening. And I tell you what, Joy, I am convinced that Florida is just going to continue to it's just going to continue to spread. I think,
yes,
you keep striking that match, and there's so many orgs all over Florida doing great work, but
yeah,
it's really, really exciting to see. So thank you for being with us on the podcast. It has been so much fun chatting with you.
Thank you. It's been fun.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.